Well, good morning, Lowry's.
Good morning.
It's good to be here. Hate your pastor sick. I had the fact that I think most of y'all may know I am your director of missions, but that's my part-time job. I'm a full-time evangelist. Traveled. I was in Union last week, Georgia a few weeks ago. I'll be next Sunday. I do have open, and that's on purpose, though, with my family. But I hate to hear he's sick, and I'm grateful I had the opportunity to be here with you. I love your pastor. Amen. I love all my preachers, 26 of them, and I've been here since March. I still hadn't met all of them. There's 26 churches in our association. Almost half of them are bivocational. We have one pastor that's working three jobs, and so y'all pray for those bivocational preachers. Amen. But I love Pastor David. In fact, his precious wife, I was her pastor at Calvary, and with her mom and dad. Her dad, I need to get him saved. Amen. But I don't know of anybody that can cook fish like he can. When we started Judgment House back in, right day, 02, I think it was. And he just said, you know what, I want to do something for the staff that was working those 3 weekends and 2 weekends. Started down as 2 weekends. And I said, what you want to do? He said, I just want to cook. So he started cooking. So I stayed out there. Amen. I let everybody know and I just ate. Amen. But he's a great man, so grateful to be here. The goal I have for really the Chester Baptist Association is to love your preacher and to help him and you fulfill the Great Commission. Amen. That's why we're here. There's no other reason for it. Ministry does not come out of that building in Richburg. It comes out of all these local churches, and I'm just here to help. Amen? And encourage. So thank you for your gifts to that. And as we continue to reach Chester, Chester County, there's 33,000 people live in Chester County. Here's the sad thing about this, folks. That's about the same number it was in 1909. According to estimates from North American Mission Board, if that's true, which I think it is, 28,000 of them are not in church at all. Look at your empty pews. I don't say that. Amen? I'm not trying to get you to feel bad, but I'm trying to get you to feel bad. We're not doing the job that God called us to do. Amen? And that is to go and tell people about Jesus Christ. The reason why America is in the shape of sin today is because the church has failed. It's not a political problem. It's not a Supreme Court problem. Thank God for the Supreme Court, though. Amen? What they did. It's not any of it's the problems of the church. If judgment must begin, it must begin in the house of God. And that's really, we're going to stand before the Lord one day. I had a pastor friend of mine, I would meet with him lunch quite often, and he would just say, how many people have you talked to Jesus today? That's accountability. So how many people have y'all talked about Jesus this week? It's accountability. Take your copy of the Word of God to Philippians chapter number 4, Philippians 4, and I want to talk about a secret that needs to be rediscovered, a secret that needs to be rediscovered. I don't know if I've ever lived, I've been an American since birth. Hello, born in Monk's Corner. Amen. Hell's Hole Swamp, that's what they used to call it back then. Amen. All my family's from Union, right down the road there, South Carolina. And so I love this country. And people that don't like this country, they may have to wait a little bit at airports right now, but there's planes leaving this nation every day. They can go. Amen. They don't like it. They can go. But we do have problems. We do have difficulties. But I've never seen a time in my life where we have seen more people discontented, more people dissatisfied. We're more divided than we've ever been in our world. Now, Roe v. Wade, I never thought that would happen in my lifetime. Thank God it happened. And it goes back to the states. But I'm going to tell you the second greatest thing happened was when they voted the fact that coach could pray at a football game. Amen? Amen. Amen. We need to return back to where we were and what this nation was founded on, and that's Christian principles. Amen? Amen. But we're discontented. Paul's writing in church at Philippi, and I believe this is his favorite church. The whole book's about rejoicing. The whole book's about joy. But one thing you don't find in the book of Philippians, you don't find the word sin at all. Now, ladies, I love you. I married one of your kind. Aren't you glad of that? Amen? But there is, in chapter 4, verse 2, there is a rebuke to two women that ain't getting along, and he rebukes them about it. Amen. I ain't going there at all. Amen. I'll bypass that. There's two reasons why he wrote the letter. Number one, Paul's in prison. He's writing this letter from jail. locked up to a Roman soldier 24 hours a day. And so he's writing there and he said, listen, I'm okay. I mean, God is using the circumstances in my life to increase the kingdom of God. So he's writing to tell them he's okay. They're worried about it. Second reason he writes this is to thank them for a gift. A gift that Epaphroditus had sent to, really went with him and sent that to him. And he's thankful for that gift. He's grateful for that gift. So watch what he says in verse number 10. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you are also careful, but ye lack opportunity. Now he's referring to that gift that Paul received from the church of Philippi by Epaphroditus. He's grateful for the gift. Watch what he says in verse number 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am, that ain't Georgia, South Carolina, or North Carolina. So y'all get that noon tomorrow, amen? Whatever state I'm in, therefore, therewith to be what? Content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I've instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Now, I want to talk about a secret this morning that we need to rediscover in our churches and in our Christian life. Everybody loves a secret. You know what a secret is? It's something you tell one person at a time. Amen. That's a secret. But I love secrets. I mean, the advertising world loves secrets. I mean, if you go into Walmart, now you got time in Walmart because only one cash register is working. Dollar General the same way, amen? I mean, you go in and you got time in all these magazines. I never would buy one of those magazines, but I can read pretty fast waiting in line, amen? The secret to a diet. That worked. Then we have secret to COVID, the secret pill for COVID, secret pill for cancer. Everybody wants a secret. Everybody loves a secret. Now, he said, I've learned a secret here, Paul said, to be content whatever goes on in my life. Now, I would buy books sometimes, or somebody would give me a book, and as a pastor, we find these books of the secret power of prayer, or the secret of growing a great church. But I'm looking for some magical moment. I'm looking for some 12 steps for this to happen. And I've realized it didn't work. This is not a closed secret, though, I'm fixing to tell you about. It's not something that we've got to hunt for. It's right here in the Word of God. Look what he says again in verse 11. He says, not that I speak in respect of own, for I have learned. I've learned something. I've discovered something in my life that no matter what is going on in my life, up, down, round about, doesn't matter. I've learned to be what? Content. Content. I love what it says about Abraham because we have so much. You know, I deal with preachers all the time, not just here in Chester, but as a traveling evangelist, I'm dealing with preachers and have for many, many years. But I'm finding something happening after COVID. It's called COVID depression. Where preachers are so concerned. I know Rick's seen this. And preachers are so concerned because there's some people hadn't come back. Now, I don't know whether y'all understand this about a man of God. Because you will not stand before the Lord as I and others have and your pastor will. How we've taken care of you, how we love you. But there's a burden on a man of God for the people of this church. And when they don't come, that hurts. They don't come back, it hurts. There's COVID depression. COVID has done so much. But you know what it says about Abraham? It says Abraham gave up the ghost and died in good old age, full of years. You know what that means? He was literally satisfied. And again, I don't know of any other word that describes where we are today than being discontented and being dissatisfied. We're in a generation of discontented people. Gas is $14,000 a gallon. Hey man, it's $4.39 right over there. Do you know I about shouted glory when I paid $4.12 in Rock Hill yesterday? That's bad when you're smiling at $4.12, amen. But we argue about that, we're complaining about that, we complain about all of this. We're living longer than we've ever lived in modern history. Did you know in the Roman Empire, the average man lived to be 25? Only 4 out of 10 lived to reach the age of 50. We're living longer now and worrying more and more. And someone said this, longer life has given us more time just to be miserable. Isn't that where we are? We're just miserable, discontented in our world. And it would not be so disturbing if it was lost people doing this. It's saved people that's doing this. Not understanding who they are and what they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I have learned some things. Regardless of outward circumstances, regardless of external happenings. I may be, here's Paul, in prison, facing death. But he says, in all of that, I've learned this, to be content. Circumstances are difficult. Dark, damp cell, unfairly accused. Now, here's a secret that we must rediscover as believers. If we're going to understand on this, it's 246 years, by the way, but I did the math in my mind. 77.6 is 2022 right now. If we're going to understand that we've got to bring this nation back to God, and I'm praying for revival, that's the only hope. Now, I'm not telling you not to vote. You need to vote. Amen? I'm not telling you not to be concerned. You need to be concerned. But the only hope for America is Jesus. That's the only hope. And God can use, listen, God can use donkeys. I ain't going no more than that, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen? I mean, God, somebody maybe lost a golf ball in high grass, and I know what that is by playing that game. But I'm here to tell you something, folks. God can use even them. Amen? Whether they realize it or not, to bring America back to where it needs to be. Now, what I want to give you is three things this morning. First of all, what is the meaning of contentment? What does contentment mean? What is the meaning of this word? It's a very interesting word. It has to do, some think contentment is after you've eaten a big meal. You know, I can't even button this coat anymore. Amen? After you eat that big meal and you just sit back and if you burp, your wife slaps you. Amen? I mean, you know, you just you're contented like an old fat cow. Amen? Amen. But that's really not the word means. It means to be, watch this, fully satisfied, fully sufficient, fully adequate. Listen, needing no assistance from the outside. It means to be satisfied, to be at peace. The accurate word is self, really not self, but fully contained within yourself. Fully contained. Fully contained. Here's what Paul said. I've learned that in the confines of my own life, in the boundaries of my own being, I have all that I need in my life and what it ought to be. I'm fully contained. Everything I need to face these circumstances of life is really within me. Watch what he says in verse number 10 now. Okay? He said, I received in the Lord greatly that now in the last your care of me had flourished again, talking about this gift that they had sent. And watch what he says in verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want. In other words, he does not want them to misunderstand. He's thankful and rejoicing of the gift they gave, but whether they sent it or not, he was still contented. When Brent and I stepped out in faith in 2019, we had no idea that 2020 was coming. You know, and I don't get a paycheck. I get a monthly check from you guys, and that really covers my insurance, and I'm grateful for that. Amen. But I mean, for other ways, I'm not retired. I'm living by faith, and that's the way we've always been. And I've wondered, all right, Lord, where are you? Have you ever asked the Lord, where are you? You know, when the phone don't ring, Lord, where are you? And then it rings. Amen. Fully contained. Now, here's what he said. I don't want you to misunderstand. Not that I speak in respect of want. He said, for I have learned, no matter what circumstance I am, whether you send me a check or you don't, I'm not going to go to the mailbox every day waiting on something. My hope and my trust is in the Lord only. So therefore, I'm not in respect of want. I am there. Now, the word literally came from a term that was used for ancient cities. I've been to Israel, and I'm hoping to go back next year, Lord willing. And there were cities there that were fully contained. They were called contented cities. Now, here's how an army would come to a city. They would surround the city, and they would wait for them to run out of food and run out of water, and then they could take the city. But there were certain cities that were fully contained. In other words, they had their own water supply within the walls of the city, and they had their own grain supply within the walls. So they were fully contained. They could not get them. Many, many years ago, Archaeological Magazine came out with the fact that liberals for years have said that Jericho did not fall down the way it fell down with that one day when everybody's honked and hollered. Amen. That's a good sermon for that. Amen. They just honked and hollered and the walls came tumbling down. Oh, y'all know that. So Jericho fell. But they said there's no way it could have fell like that because of everything that's going on. There's no way. And then all of a sudden they started digging a little bit. And you know what they found? Tremendous amount of grain. So they began to say, you know what? It's possible that the walls could have fell in one day like that. I just wanted y'all to know y'all could believe your Bible now. Amen? I mean, when them archaeologists find out your Bible's right, amen, that's good. That city was fully contained. It had everything that it needed. That's what Paul is talking about. He said, I've learned that I'm fully contained, that I have within me everything I need to make life livable. I mean, what goes on the outside, it's not that I'm not concerned. It's not that I'm not in prayer. Not that I'm waiting for God to teach me what he's trying to teach me with. But I am satisfied with the fact that I have everything I need to go through whatever God allows me to go through. Wouldn't that be a good thing for all of us to say that right now? In bad times and good times, we lean on Jesus. If you're saved this morning, listen to me. People say, well, preacher, I lost my joy. That's a biblical impossibility. Jesus is your joy. Now, if you can lose your joy, then you can lose Jesus. You can't lose Jesus if you're saved. Well, I've lost my peace. You can't lose peace. He is your peace. So here's what happens, and here's what goes on with this. As Paul's talking about it, he understood this. No matter what's going on in my life, there's a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. My pastor is Kerry Caldwell. Kerry's preached in this church. He pastors Bellevue and Woodruff. He called me yesterday morning, actually late Friday night. Two of his church members in Florida were killed in a terrible accident, a mother and a daughter. Husband's in the hospital. So he and Amanda got in the car and they went down there to be with them and the family. And that's hard. How do you have joy and speak them full of glory? How do you have peace in the midst of all of that? I mean to tell you, you can. Even in the midst of problems, in the midst of heartache. Because listen, Jesus made a promise. And that promise is true. He said he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. Amen. There's something in that continues to work. There's this not based on outward power. There are the bad times or good times. The outward circumstances are not affecting me, Paul says. The world says to me, Paul, you bow down and worship the way we want you to worship. And who to worship? Paul says, no. No, you can't do that because I'm fully contained. They'll take everything away from you. That's fine. All I have is within me. I don't need anything else. I'm fully contained. What a tremendous thing to be that way, to not be dependent upon favorable circumstances and not be independent of unfavorable circumstances. Paul had learned that the secret. He discovered that secret. Now, I say this carefully, and I've thought a lot about it. If your joy and your contentment depends on how your kids are doing, you're not contented. Because they will go nuts every once in a while. My son, Joshua, who works at Bowater, has four children, 19-year-old. And the twins, which are the middle kids, they got a 3-year-old, Athens. She was a surprise. And boy, she's the boss of the house. Amen. But the twins just turned 13. And I told Joshua, I said, my son's 36 now. And he's heard me say this before. I said, now, Joshua, they have turned into aliens. He said, yeah, Daddy, I understand, because I know I turned into one. I said, yeah, and your sister was worst one of all. Amen? Because I know I turned into one. Amen? And so your joy cannot be dependent on how your kids are doing. Your joy cannot be dependent on how the economy's doing. Amen? Or who's in the White House or who's not in the White House. That's not your joy. And even as a pastor, if my joy always depended on how y'all were doing, I'm going to take Valium every day. Amen? No, that ain't the way it goes. I thought about this during the season we're in. Yet we're all in this. And listen, we talk about the home, and we've had to stay in the home together, and everybody stayed in, you know, all that kind of stuff. And yet our homes are in more mess today than they were even before COVID. Not understanding what we have. And contentment, listen, is discovering the sufficiency that's within you, that all you have and all you need, if you're saved, is within yourself. That's the meaning. Fully contained. Let me give you the method. Contentment is a secret that's got to be learned. Watch what he says in verse number 12, because it takes time. Watch this. He said, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed. The Amplified Bible puts it this way. I know how to be abased and live humbly in strange circumstances. I know also how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. I've learned in any and all circumstances the secret of facing every situation, whether well-fed or going hungry, having sufficiency or in enough to spare, or going without and being with want. Now, look at that word. King James says instructed. The word was used to mean a long and difficult process coming to a truth. But you know what we Baptists want? And I can pick on Baptists because I are one. But my name was on the nursery roll before I was born. Daddy pastored over 40 years. So listen to me. We don't like to wait for nothing. You come up to me and say, I like to wait. We'll have you committed. Nobody likes to wait. We want it, and we want it right now. Am I right? And we've raised a generation that's gotten worse and worse and worse and worse on that. Amen? Now, I'm better than I used to be, but man, when we used to go to restaurants and they give me one of them things that would go off, I say, I ain't going here. We're going to McDonald's. Now, you go to McDonald's today and get in line. I can read four books time I get to the thing. Amen? I mean, we need to learn patience. All right? Now, the word is used to mean that long, difficult process. Paul did not say, I've heard the secret. He didn't say, I bought a book and got the secret. Or someone came to me and just told me about a secret. No, he didn't say that. He said, this thing is I learned. How did he learn it? Through obedience to God. He said, I've learned this secret. It's a long and difficult process. And not somebody coming to you and zapping you and giving you contentment. I wish it was that way. But it has to be constantly learned. And this is what we need to learn in America. And our churches need to learn. That listen, God is always, always molding and making us in the likeness of Jesus. God's never said, oops. Anything that happened to you is like God's allowed it. God's allowed what's going on in America right now. I believe to waken up the church. Amen. To get us alive again. Amen. To understand there's a lost world out there that we have forgotten about. And we've hid inside these stained windows. Amen. So we don't see what's going on out there. Ministry's not in here, son. Ministry's outside these doors where we go tell people about Jesus. Now, Paul said he had to learn this. Now, what school did he go to? Notice what it says there in verse 12. He said, there's a basement 101 and a bounding 101. Now, when I went to college about 2 years ago, no, it's been a while. When I went to Campbell University, Campbell College back then, you'd stand in line and you'd sign up for classes. Now, if there was a class called a basement 101, I don't want that one. There ain't nobody in that line, but if there's one in abounding 101, I want to abound. Amen? I want to learn how to do that. Man, that's around the corner. I mean, they're 5 miles in line for that class. He said, I've learned it from both of them. He said, there's been times I've been hungry, and then there's been times I've been stuffed. He said, there's been times that I could not even eat another bite of food, and there's times that I just wish I had just a nibble. He said he'd gone to both extremes. Now, listen to the statement I'm fixing to give you. You could take away everything from Paul. Watch this. But you didn't take anything from him. You could give him the world, but you really didn't add anything to him. I don't think that you and I can learn to be content. Now, I don't like this. I don't like it. Anybody in here like problems? Anybody in here like difficulties? No. But I don't believe you learn that until you go through it. We are now, Brenda, in fact, she's at church with we have our four Nashville grands with us. Our daughter has four boys. And Aiden was adopted from the island of Grenada. And he's 11 years old now. And he's gone through a whole year of chemo. He has a tumor on the base of his brain. And thank God it's not cancer and the tumor's dead. Amen. And he's good, growing. Man, it's unbelievable. And then Crystal gave birth to three other boys. Ryman is 5. Tomlin is 3. And Titan is 10 months old. And so this weekend, Brent and I have had them four boys all by ourselves. I'm so glad your pastor got sick so I could come preach to y'all. Sorry, bro.
I mean, Brenda deals with kids every single day with that daycare. There's 110 kids at our daycare, and she deals with it every day. I don't. I about fell asleep in the truck coming in here a while ago. Amen. No, I just love our kids. Amen. I love every one of them. But when we went through that with Aiden, when you get a phone call that said there's a tumor, it's tough. I thought about my pastor, Carrie, and getting that phone call. And I know those two people. I know the mama because I preached there many times. That's hard. But you don't learn contentment by everything going great. You get spoiled that way, do you not? You learn through the extremities of life. You and I need to understand that for a believer, nothing is incidental and nothing is accidental. God has a purpose for everything that's going on in your life. Amen. Amen. Paul's trying to tell us that we're fully contained if we are content, that having everything does not add anything to us and losing everything does not take anything away from us. Amen. Having everything doesn't increase you. But that's not what the world says. Go do the lottery. You'll be satisfied. There's just one thing wrong with that. Baloney. Because after a while, that's what you're going to be eating again because you're going to get rid of it. Amen? If you didn't have it before, you don't know how to use it then. Amen? We will believe a man is, if he has more, he's worth more. Because we believe if you have more, we would be worth more. I'm a rat pack. I'm a pack rat. I've had stuff. I was telling my sister, in fact, she heard me preach last Sunday, and I was talking about a little bit about this in a sermon. I said the fact that, you know, when daddy retired in 1983, he was 62 years old. His vocal cords twisted and he couldn't preach anymore. And later on, God healed him, and I'm grateful for that. But they moved to Union, and so there was some stuff that they had in boxes, and mama said, don't get rid of it. Well, when mama said, so that was 1983. It's 2022 right now. I've got those boxes in my attic. Now, mama's in glory, died in 2003. But if I ever got rid of that, I'm afraid mama. And Brenda says, what you going to do? It's still got the same duct tape from that. I mean, that pretty strong duct tape in 1983. But I'm going to need it one day. You know, I got other stuff I'm going to need. Oh, don't look at me in that tone of voice. Y'all do the same thing. You got a drawer and a closet somewhere that's got stuff in it you're going to need. But you're scared to open it, amen? We got all this stuff. Here's what God does. God comes to us and says, okay, see that right there? I'm going to unplug it. Now, Lord, if you unplug that, I'm going to die. If you take that away from me, I'm surely going to die. God unplugs it. Guess what? I don't die. And then he starts unplugging another one and another one and another one until he gets to the one that's really my source, which is him. Amen. Amen. We sing sometimes Jesus is all I need. You'll never know Jesus is all you need till you know he's all you got. Hey, son, I've been to the bottom. Thank God there's rock down there. Stand it on the promises of God. The extremities of life, the difficulties of life. That's what this whole passage is all about. Peace flows in the midst of our journey. Christ has come and you don't get hysterical. There's a peace. I'm not saying you're not concerned. I'm not saying you're not going to weep. I'm not saying that you're not going to get hurt. I'm not saying any of that stuff. But you realize that the inside of you is something that's fully contained, and that is a peace that passes all understanding. And it's a peace of knowing that God's in charge. He hadn't abdicated his throne. We don't panic like we used to. Why? Because we've learned something. We've discovered something. You see, the world's way to contentment is increasing your possessions. God's way of contentment is decreasing your desires. Psalmist said it this way, delight thyself in the Lord, he'll give you desires of your heart. Now let me ask you a question, class. What comes first, the delight or the desires? Delight. We delight in him. Guess whose desires will be our desires? His. Sometimes we want to change that verse. It's my desires, Lord, then I'll delight in you. And that's not the way it works. You see, that we yield and surrender to Him and say, yes, Lord, yes to Your will and to Your way. That's when His desires become our desires. Lastly, not only the meaning, the method, but the master. The secret of contentment is Christ. I love the Apostle Paul. Wrote 2/3 of your New Testament. I love the Apostle Paul. He's a Christ-focused man. He always comes back to Christ. See what he says in verse 13? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, for many, many times, we have taken that verse and put it out of context. We think, well, you know what? I can move a mountain. I can do this. I can do that. Because Christ is my strength, and He is. But the context is you going through difficulty. The context, if you're going through, whether you've been abound or whether you're abounding in it or you're a basement, where you got stuff or you don't have anything, where you've had a smooth road and then all of a sudden the road cracks up. That's really the context of what he's talking about. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's a very interesting word. It literally means to be full of health and full of vigor. That's what it means. I like what J.B. Phillips translated. I'm ready for anything through Christ who has poured His strength in me. You see, your strength is not you. Your strength is Christ. The Bible says, Jesus said, you can't do nothing without me. Now, we can do a lot of sinning without Him. But when it comes to walking in joy, walking in the peace that we have, walking in the strength of God, we can't do anything without Christ. You know what Paul says? Just bring it on. Let the world throw anything it wants to at me. Ready for all of that. Christ is my power. Christ is my strength. So through Christ, I am ready for anything. Christ is the secret. Now, when people hear that, they say, well, I'm disappointed. I'm looking for a 12-step program. I'm looking for a 10-step. I need this to do that. No. It's not a formula, folks. It's a person. And church, that's what we've forgotten in the American church today. We've let the world systems come into our churches. Sometimes I think, I told some of the pastors this the other day, sometimes I think God looks over the battlements of glory and says, what have y'all done to my church? He's not the author of confusion. We got more confusion in the church now than we've ever had. No wonder America's confused. We need revival, man. We need revival. It's about Jesus. He says, I thank you for the gift that you gave me, but I want you to know my hope is in Christ. In other words, you know what he's saying? My equilibrium, my stability is not about what the economy does. It's not about this or that and the other. It's not about a circumstance. No, my stability and my equilibrium is in Christ Jesus and Him alone. So, well, preacher, you don't know what I've been through. No, I don't. But you don't know what I've been through either. And you know who I've learned from? You know, God will put people in your life where you learn. I mean, people that go through, as a pastor, I've watched people go through so much, children getting killed, all these kind of things that's going on. I've watched it, and I've watched people. And I've learned from them, understanding God is in charge and in control. Amen. Because Jesus is your strength. Spiritual growth and maturity is not God adding something to you. It's discovering what you already have. You see, when you got saved, you got all of God you're ever going to get. You got to learn what you got now. Amen. And all through life, you're learning it. I've been saved since I was 9 years old. I'm still learning it. I'm still learning what I have in Him. Sometimes I have to back up a little bit and pick up what I already learned because I'm not walking in it the way I need to walk in it. Self gets on the way. Don't tell me you don't deal with yourself, because your worst enemy is who you looked at in the mirror this morning. And I don't care if it's a double mirror with your wife. It ain't your wife. It ain't your husband. It's you. I was holding Titan yesterday. He's 10 months old. He's our youngest grandchild. And I got to thinking about this yesterday. And I got to thinking about Crystal when his mama was born. She was born in Greenwood, South Carolina, Self Memorial. We were living in, I was working for Roses back then. This is for the ministry. And I think, and many times I've been at a hospital, I know Rick's done this as well, those mothers that get to hold that baby for the first time, you look at, right? You look at the toes and you look at the fingers and say it's all there. Amen? And so you got that baby, right? Now, let me ask you a question. When Crystal was born, she's 38 now, four boys. She's getting paid back for everything she's ever done to me, especially with Tomlin, who's named after me. Oh, jeez. Tomlin means little Tom. There you go. Amen. So let me ask you a question. When Crystal was born and she started discovering this right here, well, let's get her back in the car, take her by herself and we'll put her hands on. No. And then all of a sudden she's trying to get up. Well, we got to go back to the hospital, put her legs on. And then they start climbing and getting, that's what Titan's doing now. He's getting up on the couch and getting them legs. Oh, we got to go put the muscles in because he's trying to stand. No. Everything that child was given at birth, they're discovering what they have and how to use it. Everything God gave you at salvation, you discover what you have and who you are in Him, and you're learning how to use it. I didn't realize that for a long time in my Christian walk. I thought God had to add a lot of stuff to me. No. Because literally, you know what? When you have Him, you have it. There was a man, very, very wealthy man in England many, many years ago. His wife died when the child was very small and the young boy, he was raising the young boy. And that boy went in the Air Force in England during World War II and he was killed in World War II. And so this man had no heirs or anything. He had great wealth, just huge wealth. He had so much money. He had he got a great art collection known all over the world. When he died, the will stipulated there had to be an auction. So they had the auction and people from all over the world came and to get buy a piece of the one at least one print that this man had. In fact, one time this man asked his servant to go buy something. He already had it in his warehouse. That goes to what I just talked about, right? So they had the auction. People was there, and auctioneer got up there and put up a picture on an easel. Wasn't nothing special about that picture. The person who painted it, no one knew who it was. But it was a picture of the man's son. And he said, well, the will stipulates that who gets this, you know, this has to be the first thing in line. Nobody made a bid on it. It wasn't worth anything. Nobody knew who it was. Nobody didn't care who it was. But the old butler who had been with the man for years and years and years, helped raise that boy, was in the back row. He said, you know, I think I'd like to have that painting. So he bidded for it and got it. All of a sudden, the auctioneer, auction's closed. Well, those folks that came from all over Europe to come buy a piece of art. Now, what do you mean the auction's closed? He said, well, the will stipulates whoever gets the son gets it all. I ain't nothing. The best I deserve is hell. But when I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior and Master, I got it all. And when I die and I'm in glory and I'm kicking up gold dust up there, won't you listen to me? I will not have any more of God than what I have right now. Because I'm saved. And what America needs is born again, blood-bought people walking out of these doors and telling others, Jesus is all you need. He's all you need. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I preached to the church this morning. But if you're lost without God, you really don't have anything. You may have material things, but you don't have anything. What you need is Jesus. I'll be standing here at the front. I'll stay here all day long and tell you about my Lord and how you can be saved. But church, let me ask you a question. I wonder how many of you would come sit on this front row or kneel at this altar if you can and pray that this church, Lowry's, other churches that believe the inerrant word of God would be the catalyst for God to bring America back to Himself. We need to pray for that today. Some of you going through some difficult times, learn what God is teaching you. Because there's going to come a time somebody's going to be going through the same thing you're going through. And 2 Corinthians 1 says, we comfort one another with the same comfort we've been comforted with. And we can tell them that Jesus was our source and our strength, our supply. As Miss Martin plays, I want you to come right now. Father, this is your invitation, not mine. Bring folks to this altar praying for America, praying for their church, praying for those around them that needs Christ. In Jesus' name, would you come right now? Just come.